Well, seven in a row is pretty good, or six in a row is pretty good, as I don't have my light on. Seven in a row would have been better. It would have given them a much better chance of making it, but they still get a point here against the Ottawa Senators. A game that the Canucks had a pretty weak first period, a really good second, and a pretty good third as well. And they're not dead yet. They just aren't. This was a crucial game to get 2 points out of. Keep in mind, they are now tied with Vegas in the standings. LA won. Nashville won. But they're not dead. They do have to win out, though. Five games to go, and they have to be absolutely perfect. We'll break this game down, as we always do. This was so close to being a super fun one, as Miller scored on the in the shootout, and Demko just couldn't stop Batherson's shot. And we're so close. So close. All right, let's break this one down. While you are here, by the way, we will have Canucks After Dark tonight. I know it's usually Monday. It will be tonight after this show at about 10 p.m. I'm going to put the link in a pinned comment here while you are here. So the Canucks talk will go late tonight. CAD link. And I'm just going to have that pinned to the top so you guys can have a quick link to that. Halak in net for the Canucks to start this game. He did not finish this game. Gustafson in net for the Ottawa Senators. First period, the Canucks open the scoring real early on the power play in the first 2 minutes, and it's JT Miller. For a guy who didn't get a single point last night, who has been, you know, obviously such a big key to this team, he gets his 30th goal of the season. Excellent season for him. So it's 1-0 early, looking good. Halak has to make a key stop on Stützle, stacking the pad. Brock Besser then scores with about 5 minutes left in the first. Power play is expiring, and the Canucks are ahead into the second period with a 2-goal lead. By the way, great pass from Brad Hunt on that power play goal. Shots in the first period, 14-10 in favor of Ottawa. We go to the second period, and Thatcher Demko's in net, leading out the team. Now, this whole goaltender fiasco is kind of wild. As Spencer Martin was emergency recalled earlier today because there was fear that Demko wouldn't be able to back up Halak. Then Demko ends up being the backup. Spencer Martin gets reassigned before the game. And now Demko is coming into backup. This is after there's video of him last night looking like he's throwing up on the bench, which isn't great. So clearly some sort of bug going around the Canucks, right? We've seen a bunch of guys get sick, and now Demko's on that list as well, which is a little scary. And the Senators get on the board 4 minutes into the period. It is Formanton, a long point shot by Zaitsev. Formanton tips it in past Demko to make it 2-1. Then the Canucks get a power play with 14 minutes to go in the second period. And this power play was the absolute turning point of this period. The Vancouver Canucks ran away with this period after that power play. 14 minutes of basically pure dominance from the Vancouver Canucks, and they just can't get anything to go. A ton of shots that went wide, a few posts, a bunch of great saves. They just can't get anything to go. 16 shots in the second period for the Canucks. I wonder what the expected goals are from the second period. I'm going to see if I can pull that up. What's the website I normally use? Money Puck, let's pull this up. I want to see the second period expected goals. Can I see that by period? I don't know if I can, but I can see that the Canucks clearly jumped over the opposing team in the second period. They went from 1.11 expected goals to 3.25. So the Canucks were expected to get 1.5 goals in that period, which is a lot in a period, and they just couldn't. They couldn't get anything to go. So they are up 2-1. Going into the third, and the Senators get millimeters away from scoring about a minute and a half in. Formanton gets robbed by Demko. Stützle catches iron with the top half of the net wide open. And then a minute later, they score and make it 2-2. It was a weird bounce off the boards. It goes in front. Parker Kelly rips it off the bar. Then it goes off of Demko and just crosses the line by an inch. And we're tied at 2. And then a minute and a half later, Formanton makes it 3-2. Just burns Luke Shen bad. And look, I love Luke Shen as much as the next guy. And last night was the real big example of it. But that's the problem with having slow defensemen, is they can just get beat. He was slow to react. He got burned. And the Canucks trail for the first time in seemingly a while, being down 3-2. And then the Canucks finally have something go their way with a high-sticking review. This has hurt the Canucks a couple times this year, but a high-sticking review goes the Canucks' way. Podkolzin shoved Tkachuk. His stick did not hit him high, so it's 4-on-4. And then on this 4-on-4, the Canucks tie it. 3 minutes after Ottawa took the lead, that's all they get. And Besser feeds Dermott from behind the net, who goes 5-hole, ties the game at 3. Formanton gets close to the Hattie with 12 minutes to play, catches the post on a 2-on-1. Canucks put their foot on the gas late. Like, the last 6 minutes of this period, again, the Canucks just dominated. And Tyler Myers puts one off the crossbar with 2:20 to go. Dickinson, 2v1 with Lockwood, and then or 2-on-1 with Lockwood. He gets tripped. No call there. I mean, that gets made up for in overtime. But we end the third period. We're tied at 3. The Canucks basically had to win out. And they had to win out 7 games ago. They won 6. We go to overtime. And the Canucks dominate overtime as well. Brady Tkachuk makes some weird pass to absolutely no one right onto the stick of the Canucks. And they remain with possession the remainder of overtime, barring the last 5 seconds when Tkachuk almost scored, hitting the outside of the net as time expired. But the Canucks just had their foot on the gas. They only take 3 shots, but they dominated the overtime. It was never in doubt they were the better team. But again, they can't get anything to go. So we go to a shootout. Man, the shootout stresses me out. Brock Besser leads it off, stopped on the backhand. Stützle goes for Ottawa. He stopped 5-hole. JT Miller does his classic, going in slow, cut across. He runs out of room, runs out of time, struggled to handle the puck, and he still somehow scores. Goal scorers find a way. So the Canucks up in round 2. Josh Norris misses. So Elias Pettersson has a chance to win it, and the puck just started jumping on him. Not sure if the scrape didn't go well, but the puck just starts bouncing and bouncing, and he's not able to get a handle. So now Drake Batherson has a chance to tie it up in round 3, and he scores. Connor Garland has a chance to win it. He's stopped by the glove. Tkachuk gets stopped going in quick on Demko. And then they put out Nick Petan in round 5. Some people might say, well, why would you put out Nick Petan? Here's the thing. I really struggle to argue with shootout decisions because typically they do shootouts in practice and the best guys are the ones that go in the game. So people can say, why not Quinn Hughes? Why not Vasily Podkolzin? Quinn Hughes life, shootout stats. What are Quinn Hughes shootout stats? Is that something I can quickly pull up? Is that even a thing? Probably not. Hey, I don't think I can find it. Either way, Quinn Hughes could have been an option. Vasily Podkolzin could have been an option. Thing is, I imagine Nick Petan's probably doing really good in the shootout in practice. He is leading the outs for Canucks in scoring, if I'm not mistaken. He knows how to score goals. He just does. And that shot was close. He fired it about 18 inches off the ice at the far post. Or at the left side post, his left, I don't know what hand he is, fires it at the post, and it hits. You're trying to shoot it just like this high above the pad, because it's basically unsavable for the goalie. And it just nicks the pad of the goalie, like the top of the pad, hits the top of the pad and flutters out. A quarter of an inch higher, that's a goal. And Nick Petan's a hero. But it wasn't a quarter of an inch higher. And they lose. I don't want to argue with the whole using Nick Petan in the shootout thing. I think it's fine. I think they test out everyone in practice. And like I said, he's probably been doing the best. And he was literally a half inch away from scoring. And then Adam Gaudette, who didn't see the ice since like halfway through the second period. Adam Gaudette, who played less than 4.5 minutes of ice time tonight, Not even the low man of the game. Senishin had 415. But Adam Gaudette, for a team that is so far out of the playoffs in the Ottawa Senators, played less than 4.5 minutes tonight. And they put him out for the shootout. And he scored. I mean, what can we say about that? Right? That is just cruelty, to be honest. For to look down, for the hockey gods to look down from the sky and say, Adam Gaudette's going to be the one. We're talking about, why would the Canucks put Nick Patan out in the shootout? Why would the Ottawa Senators put Adam Gaudette? It was spite. It was saying, hey, go against your former team and score. That's all it was. And it worked. It worked. What can you say? Pluses and minuses for this one. I thought Travis Dermott had a spectacular game. He gets a big plus for me. Brock Besser was absolutely fantastic. To all of the people 2 weeks ago who were here saying, clearly Brock Besser is useless and should be traded. Here's example A was tonight, and maybe example B is last night. He is one of the smartest players on the team, and he's got a heck of a shot. And anyone who says anything negative about Brock Besser, I have no time for at this point. The second period, obviously a big plus. Basically the Canucks, the entire time that they dominated, they lost, right? Second period, they dominated, but they lost the second period. The third period, they dominated the last half, but they still lost the third period. Overtime, they dominated, they couldn't score, which is just unlucky. Expected goals wise in this game, that's a plus for the Canucks. It was 5 for the Canucks, 4.05 for the Senators. Close enough that you're leaving a lot up to chance. But the Canucks genuinely got outplayed in the first period, especially at even strength. They dominated the second period, and they were the slightly better team in the third period. The other plus, I mean, look, they got a point. They're not dead. Now, LA winning and Nashville winning makes it tough, right? Tonight is a net negative on the out-of-town scoreboard. And that's where we're getting to our minuses. The standings are, they're running out of time. The Canucks are now 5 points behind LA, because LA won 2-1 tonight, I think it was. 2-1 over Anaheim. Close game. Anaheim couldn't pull it out. The LA Kings are 5 points up. Canucks have one game in hand. The Canucks, coming into this game, controlled their own destiny. They no longer have that luxury. The Canucks are tied with Vegas. So, for argument's sake, we're going to say that the only way the Canucks get in, most likely, is they win out, right? So let's just assume the Canucks win out. I'm not saying they will, but let's assume for a second. They will likely, if they win out, finish ahead of Vegas, right? Because for Vegas to match, they'd also have to win out. For how unlikely it is for the Canucks to win out, just as unlikely for Vegas to win out. So Vegas isn't really a team the Canucks should be worrying about, because their only way in is to win out. If they win out, that includes a win over the LA Kings and a game in hand on the LA Kings. So they would theoretically, if the Canucks and LA both won out, except the Canucks won their game against LA in regulation, then LA would be up by 1 point. So the Canucks need to win out, and they need LA to lose one of their last 4 games. That would get them into third in the Pacific. Another route would be to get ahead of Vegas and then get ahead of either Nashville or Dallas. Nashville won tonight. If the Canucks win out, they will finish with 97 points. Nashville has 93 with 5 games to go. So they would only need 3 wins or go 2-2-1 to finish ahead of the Canucks. And the Stars have 91 points with 6 games to play. So if the Canucks win out, they likely still make it in, because it's unlikely that LA wins out and Vegas wins out, or Vegas. If either of them win out, then the Canucks are kind of in trouble as well. And then if they went out, it also, and either LA or Vegas stays with them, it's still pretty likely that they'd get past like Dallas, for example, because the odds are that they wouldn't win out, or they'd lose too. It's tricky. Basically, what I'm saying is the Canucks have to win their last five games. They needed, coming into this one, basically 11 of 12 points to have a reasonable shot. And that's because, unfortunately, LA and Vegas have been winning games pretty recently. Vegas has lost the last two. So it's not dead. The Canucks just need to win every game. Now, we can look at that and say that seems pretty unlikely. Now, keep in mind, I do want to mention, Nashville does have four really hard games coming up. They could, in theory, lose four of their last five, right? They have the they beat the Flames tonight in a shootout. That wasn't their hardest opponent of the next 2 weeks. They have the Lightning, the Wild, the Flames again, and then the Avs, and they finish their season against Nashville. So again, if the Canucks win out, I think they probably do catch Nashville, even though they won tonight, because they likely lose a few of those games. So they just got to win. They just have to beat Minnesota on the road on Thursday, Calgary on the road on Saturday. Those are the tough ones. If they somehow win both of those games, which is unlikely, but if they somehow do, because this last stretch has been unlikely, if they somehow win these next two games, they will have three games left, including Seattle, a game they should win, although this was a game they should have won. The LA Kings, which is as must win as it gets if they're still in it at that point. And then the Oilers on Friday, April 29th. So in 10 days, that's it. The Canucks could very well be out of it as of Thursday night. 5 p.m. that game starts against Minnesota. If they lose that, they're done. Unless they lose it and then LA and Vegas also lose, and then they're still kind of in it. But more than likely, they need to win out, and they need Vegas to not win out, and they need LA to not win out. They just need, if Vegas and LA lose all the rest of their games, then the Canucks only have to win three out of the five. But that's unlikely. Okay. That's my spiel. Other minuses, goaltender woes. I'm a little worried about Halak getting hurt there, although in theory it should be Demko the rest of the way. But if Demko's really sick, hopefully he's feeling better by Thursday. Yeah, that's it. That's all I've got. We've got 10 minutes until we're 10, maybe 15 minutes. Once I get the message from Clay, the go-ahead, we will be swapping over to Canucks After Dark. So let's take questions for 10 minutes. And then there's a pinned comment in this chat to go to Canucks After Dark at 10:10 p.m. All right, let's fire up the comment machine. I'm going to be pretty selective here, guys. Let's see what we've got. Lots of sadness coming through. Yeah, there's nothing here that I'm wanting to read yet. Eastside Shy asks, what happened to Halak? It looked like in the scramble at the end of the first period, like he got slashed in the hand, but usually that's not like you don't see someone get slashed in the hand and like panic, get up and shaking their hand and things like that. It looked not great. Genuinely not great. So hopefully he's okay. In theory, the Canucks won't need him unless they get knocked out, and then they'll play Halak down the stretch, I imagine. All right, let's see what else we've got. Dub230 saying Demko isn't himself tonight. What happened to Martin? Well, Demko's sick, clearly. Martin, they can't have three goalies on the roster. Emergency recall conditions. Basically, if Demko says he's good to be on to sit on the bench, they can't have Spencer Martin on the roster because they have no recalls left. They only have emergency recalls, which you can only use in the case of injury or some other medical thing. Since Demko was cleared to be on the bench and back up this game, Martin had to be sent down. It's just the rules. In theory, though, you would hope that he wouldn't have had to come in. Let's see here. We'll take a couple more before swapping over. Let's see here. There's just so much negativity here. Let's get some like decent questions. This is all just, it's all just everyone being sad and angry. Guys, we weren't supposed to be here. We weren't supposed to be here on April 19th. Think back, December 4th. We weren't supposed to be here. We weren't supposed to be discussing the playoff implications of a game on April 19th. We have been real lucky. Yeah, it's unfortunate they blew this one, but guess what? They could have easily lost one of these last six against a tougher team. And it's 1 point. The Canucks lost 1 point tonight. And it's piled on because LA and Nashville both won. But if LA had lost this, if LA had lost in regulation, the Canucks still would have made up 1 point on LA tonight. Unfortunately, they lose one on LA. They were the better team. They lost in a shootout. Shootouts are 100% luck, in my opinion. You know, Demko makes that one save, and the Canucks get 2 points out of this, and it doesn't matter. I think we're being a little too sad for the fact that the Canucks made it here. Like, look, what have the Canucks done lately? They beat Dallas 6-2 last night, a team that they had to catch. They have to try to catch for a playoff spot, and they ran them out of the building. They beat Vegas in overtime on April 12th last Tuesday, a team that should have their number, and they ran them out of the building 5-4 in overtime. They beat Vegas a week before that, 5-1. Like, this team has gone on this last six-game winning streak against some pretty decent opponents, has been absolutely insane, and has taken their odds from less than 1% up to, at peak, around 15% today. They'll drop today. They'll probably drop to 8 or 9%, maybe lower. But they're still here. And they're not done. They just have to win out. And they had to win out coming into this game, and that doesn't change. They lost 1 point. That was the 1 point they could maybe afford to lose. I don't think we need to be too just sad and wallowy, in my opinion. And Scout says, you know, the margin of error is so thin. And that's true. It is just so razor thin. And it's because they put themselves here. They put themselves here in the first 30 games of the season. Or 25 games, or whatever you want to call it. They put themselves in this position. And now they have to fight and have to be literally perfect. We're talking about the last 12 games of the season. They had to be entirely perfect. And they've gotten 13 out of a possible 14 points in the last 7 games, and they still have a chance. I don't think we should be so negative here. Genuinely. And I'm usually the person who sits in the middle, and I just think, you know, I think we got to chill a little. Lincoln, do you think Pettersson can hit 70 or Miller can hit 100 or Hughes can break the record for the defenseman? I think Hughes will break that record, 63 points. Someone said that he got an assist added to that Dermott goal, which, let me see, is true. So Quinn Hughes now has 61 points. He's 3 points away from breaking it with 5 games to play. I think Hughes gets it. I think Elias Pettersson probably, what is he at? He didn't get a point tonight, which is surprising for him. He needs, 7 points in 5 games? Yeah, he might. And I think Miller will probably hit 100. I mean, yeah, they're all playing great. So how you doing? Says, I'm fine with Martin in net. Yeah, in theory, he'll be on the bench on Thursday. Because I don't think Halak's going to be there based on how panicked he looked coming. At the end of the first period. Unfortunately. Leib says, do you think Halak would have done better and won this game? I do. The Canucks got unlucky there. Goaltenders playing on back-to-backs. There's been 100 instances of it this season across the NHL. And keep in mind, if a goalie's playing both games back-to-back, they're probably the starting goalie. Average save percentage is .883 this year for goalies on their on the second night of a back-to-back. It just doesn't work. Goaltenders don't play well in back-to-backs, especially when they almost don't play in the game at all, which Demko was rumored based on being sick, most likely. So just super unlucky that their goaltender gets hurt. Demko still played a pretty solid game. He let in 3 goals. Expected goals while Demko was out there was just over 3. So Demko technically had an above expected night. But Halak had been perfect through one period. And you had to hope that would have gone, that would have continued, but we'll never know, unfortunately. Jeremy says if they keep this up next season, they'll definitely make the playoffs. Yeah. I mean, look, the Canucks have been playing on a crazy pace, right? They've basically been playing as a 108-point team since Boudreau got hired. I don't think they're a 108-point team. I think they might be a 98-point team, maybe a 100-point team. You know, you can't just completely write off the first 25 games of the season, but Bruce Boudreau seems just to be so good at getting the most out of players in the regular season that, yeah, you give him a full year next year. I don't see any reason why this team doesn't make it. The fear is JT Miller here next season? Are some other players here next season? Is Tyler Myers here next season? And for all the hate Tyler Myers gets, and I pile on sometimes, I still think it's not the best contract. He's been really good. He's been really, really good. And he almost scores the winner tonight in the last couple of minutes. So yeah, I think if there's not too much roster turnover, I think it's a playoff team. I said it was a playoff team at the beginning of the season. And the roster hasn't changed. If anything, it's gotten a little bit better. They lost Mott. They got Dermott. They lost Hamonic. Let's say they're about the same. The problem is if you're looking to make the playoffs next year, then you can go and you can extend JT Miller, or you can keep him and ride him and sort of use him as your own rental. But that seems like a real short-sighted move. It is tricky. Scout saying with a $2 super chat. Thank you, Scout. Saying crossed fingers for the LA loss next game. Yeah, that's what the Canucks need. They just need LA to start losing and Vegas to keep losing, and then it does. The other games matter just as much, right? Let's see. Do we have time? I have a message from Clay. I'll send him a message. Give me the or I'll say tell me when you're on. There we go. Let's see here. Agam says, no matter what happens, what a team. Pause. Lockwood and the big boys are going to be insane next year. I didn't mention Lockwood in my pluses, but I should have. Will Lockwood is such a physical player for, I think he's what, 5'11", and 180. Will Lockwood, what are his... Yeah, he's 5'11", 172, and he's going out there and just bodying people. And he got so close. I think second period, he tipped that one third period? I think it was second period. He tipped a puck right through Gustafson's legs and wide. Lockwood has been really good. Podkolzin has been phenomenal. I think he had his career high in ice time last game. I think tonight he probably played a good chunk of time. I know he was out there late in the third once again. Let's see. Podkolzin, he played 18 minutes tonight. He played the fifth most out of any forward behind Besser, Garland, Miller, Pettersson. That is impressive. Very impressive. Quinn Hughes played 30 minutes tonight, by the way. Hughes has been so good too. So some of the Canucks, I didn't mention Pettersson's name from last night either, but he played such a good game. The Canucks have been playing so well. All right. With that, we're going to make the swap. We're going to switch over to Canucks After Dark. I'm going to spam the link in the chat. We are going to be live in, let me delete that one because that one's not going to work. We are going to be live in probably about 60 seconds for Canucks After Dark. We'll break out the last week and all that stuff for the next 50 minutes or so. So please join me over there. If you enjoyed this show and you're on the podcast side, I hope you enjoyed. And you can find Canucks After Dark as well on your favorite podcast platform as well as this. Just do some searching. You guys know how it works. Thank you very much. I'll see you next time.